Well, you know, we're coming close to the close of our hour, sadly, and I just wanted to ask you a little bit about your latest work. I mean, there have been rumors on the internet about some new research that goes kind of far afield from your traditional stomping ground of the late 20th century. I wondered if you would be willing to divulge any details about where you're headed next.
Well, we're just starting this work, so there's nothing to perform. We haven't recovered any lyrics, and since we don't read ancient Hebrew or ancient Aramaic, it'll probably require finding scholars in that part of the world to help us. But we're excited about some initial insights we've developed into the Old Testament. As everyone knows, the Jewish people were slaves in Egypt, and we've pondered the meaning of the pyramids, and it's becoming clear, and we've worked with scholars in the Mideast about this, that the pyramids themselves are representations of essay forms. And if you think of a pyramid that has a point at the top and then moves to a broader base, that represents an essay that begins with an anecdote or a particular story, often called a hook, and then it moves into a wider area, a wider topic to explore. And so what we now know is sort of that kind of opening to start with the specific and move to the general. You look at the pyramid. I know that Clyde has a different view of this. He thinks of it as an inverted pyramid. And I think you think of the pyramid basically as the funnel, but just turned upside down.
Yeah, it's a basic difference. It's a controversy in the field. The Egyptians were onto it, passed it on to the Greeks. We're going to agree to disagree about this one.
Yeah, but I see the point. I just don't agree. But if you think of the pyramid upside down, or if you think of it as pointing to the sky, as pointing to the heavens, I can understand the point that you could start very generally and then gradually narrow your topic to a thesis, and your thesis is a gift to God. And I think that was in the minds of the Egyptians as well as the slaves. So both interpretations of the pyramids are in play currently with scholars. We've been working with some interesting people over there, Shmuel and Shana Punim, at the University of Jerusalem, have become good partners. A friend in Egypt, Ibrahim.
He's the famous banjoist.
He plays the mandolin. Actually.
Oh, the mandolin.
Yes, he does jam with us. And Shana is a wonderful cook, and she also plays the dulcimer, the hammer dulcimer. So they not only are scholars, but they're musicians.
I got to say, Shmuel's a heavy partier too. It was visiting him was a delight. It was like the old days. It was a blast out of the 60s.
I'm glad he's not going to hear this because he'd be insulted. He's trying to get past those days. Our Egyptian contact is Ibrahim Smook Kamel. He's also been a big help. Avram Rugelach at Haifa has been a wonderful help. And a French scholar, Maurice Mandelbrot.
A great baker,
yes, absolutely. Some people think he's a little bit on the edge. Some even call him nutty, but we don't share that view of him. He has a brother, Benoit Mandelbrot, a famed mathematician who works with fractals. And when he and Maurice were growing up together, they were baking together, and Maurice used to criticize Benoit because all of the pastry they made, no two pieces looked alike, whereas Maurice wanted them to look even. We've also worked, I think those are the people we've worked with. I think I've mentioned all of our colleagues in the Middle East. Here are some findings recently, still being worked on. None of this is final, but Jewish people still celebrate Passover, the commemoration of the Exodus from Egypt. But some of the texts we're examining from that time suggest that it's not Passover, it's Classover, and that the time in Egypt spent as slaves of the many, many generations were considered a long, long, long writing class, and the Jews could not be released from bondage,
Is that right?
Be released from assignments, assignment after assignment after assignment. the labor of writing draft after draft after draft. And the Exodus is actually class over.
Yeah.
And run through parted waters.
Yeah, really, yeah.
And then
it feels so true. I mean,
yeah, so true.
Well,
so
the Old Testament chronicles the time right after that, when the Jews were in the desert, and Moses went up to the mountain to receive the commandments, and the Jews lost faith, and they thought that they needed to go back to their old ways, and they fashioned. And we think of it as the golden calf. It was really the golden draft. And they felt that this draft would be the last thing they would ever have to turn in, and that would absolve them from ever having to write another paper.
Yeah, but look what happened to them after that.
Well,
never think the last draft is the last draft.
Well, what happened was Moses came down from the mountain carrying the tablets, which was God's syllabus for the Jews. He was so offended by seeing the golden draft, as if one could assume what the teacher wanted, that he dropped the syllabus and it shattered into many, many pieces.
Oh, my.
And that was, to say the least, very bad news for
the
Jews.
This really solves the riddle of that him dropping these stones, right?
Yes, and it was the Ten Assignments, basically, not the Ten Commandments.
Right.
And these were the Ten Assignments that were supposed to be completed between Egypt and the Holy Land. That should have only taken about a semester. But because he broke the assignments, he broke the syllabus, God decided that the Jews had to spend 40 years. Talk about a long class.
That's a long class.
That's a long class. And Moses, because he broke the syllabus, as people know from reading the Old Testament, was not allowed to go into the Holy Land.
They gave him an incomplete.
They gave him an incomplete.
Wow.
That's
the first incomplete.
The most famous incomplete in recorded time is Moses' incomplete. He never was able to finish the class. He was just taken straight up into the classroom where he stayed.
And again, we come back to this trauma, this like root woundedness.
Yes, thousands of years old, before the Greeks. Mm-hmm. This is before people like Plato and Aristotle. This goes way back. So I'm hoping that our future research will show us even more about how to interpret properly the Old Testament. And we might, years from now, be going from town to town reading the revealed version of the Old Testament. And let's hope there's music, otherwise we'll just be up on the stage speaking into microphones.
I mean, this is just going to dwarf the Nag Hammadi and the Sea Scrolls, and I mean, this is going to change.
It'll change everything.
Yeah, it's going to make the Da Vinci Code look like the Hardy Boys.
Like a crossword puzzle, nothing. Yeah.
Man.
So we're looking forward to it.
Yep.
Boy, it sounds like you got your work cut out for you. I guess it's going to cut in a little bit into the partying. I mean, particularly.
Well, we're writing grants, and we've heard that Alexandria is a partying town. So I think if we can get some of these grants, we'll be able to spend fair amounts of our next few years.
And not to embarrass anybody, but the weekend we spent with the Hasids, I don't even remember most of it. It was wild.
Well,
so we'll
sure.
definitely be visiting.
There are parts of Jerusalem I wouldn't walk through at night.
No. Not without one of the boys.
No.